spot in the book of Romans and the 12th chapter, Romans chapter number 12. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight something that has been on my heart for several weeks now. And it might be a little different message than what we normally preach, but that's okay. I have little doubt that this is where the Lord has led me. In fact, I've got less doubt about tonight's message than I do about some of the others. But the Lord has given me this thought, and I want to share it with you tonight. This is certainly a thought for those of you that are here. If you're here, this message is for you. Some may be listening online, and we appreciate them doing that. Maybe even some church folks, and we appreciate you listening online. But this is definitely a message for our church at this time and this hour. And so you pray for me as I try to preach, maybe just kind of talk to you for a little bit, that the Lord will give us wisdom as we move forward, okay? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's stand and let's read a few verses. And we're going to read verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 13, and then we're going to pay attention to the very end of verse number 13, and that's where we'll find our thought for tonight. Verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And can I say tonight, as we move through the message, I ask you to do what verse 3 says. I ask you to maybe not think of yourself or the church more highly than we ought to, but let's think soberly as God has given us a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Paul is listing spiritual graces now, spiritual gifts. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. I should have used that this morning. Not slothful in business. But he's dealing with the church. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. And I read 13 verses to read three words. Given to hospitality. Father, help us tonight. God, I pray that you would help me to take what is in my heart that you have undoubtedly put there. And God, give it to these people the same way you gave it to me. Lord, I know what you've done in my heart in recent days, in recent weeks. And I pray you do the same thing for the church. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is describing for us a spiritually healthy church. A spiritually healthy church, Paul says, will be a group of men and women who are first and foremost sacrificed in their lives, according to verse number 1. They have sacrificed their bodies, they have sacrificed their will, they have sacrificed their pride, they have sacrificed their desires, they have sacrificed their entire being, for they are a living sacrifice. Once sacrificed to God, Paul then says that the Spirit of God begins to display among us as a body of believers spiritual gifts. These gifts are given to us individually and they are given to us collectively. They are to be used for doctrine and they are to be used for duty. They deal with our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. Tonight I don't want to focus on all of the spiritual gifts of chapter number 12, but I instead want to deal with one spiritual gift mentioned in verse number 13. Paul said, dealing with spiritual gifts, God gives to the church in Romans 12:13. He said that a spiritually healthy church should be given to hospitality. Amen. In this passage, Paul describes the use of spiritual gifts as a body. One writer said that if spiritual gifts make up the body, then beginning in verse 9 down through verse 13, that these gifts are the circulatory system of the body because they begin with the heart of love. Being kind, being patient, being given to hospitality, all flow through a heart, a church whose heart is in the right place. The dictionary defines the word hospitality as being friendly or welcoming to guests. I think that that is exactly what Paul is trying to say in verse 13 when he said the church should be given to hospitality. To be friendly, to be welcoming to guests. A few weeks ago, Davina and I had the privilege of going to the Billy Graham Training Center for a pastor's retreat. And part of the Billy Graham Training Center on the bottom floor is a bookstore. It's called the Ruth Graham Bookstore. And the first night we got there, we checked in a little early. And before the meal started, we went down to the bookstore and we started looking around. And as we were looking around that first night, there was a very small book. And on the outside of it, it had this title. It was called Being a Welcoming Church. And I saw it the first night, and I just kind of noticed it and passed it by. But as the week went on, I could not get that little book off my mind. In fact, so much so that I told my wife and I told the other couple that we were with, the last day, I said, before we leave, I've got to go to the bookstore again and I've got to get this book. And I'll be honest with you, that little book, God has used it to begin to move in my heart over the past weeks in several different ways. I would read and God would convict me. I would read and God would challenge me. I would read and God would excite me. And I really feel like that God wants me to take some things that maybe I've gleaned from the book, some things that God has impressed upon my heart. And I want to preach to us tonight about being a welcoming church. Or maybe I would say it this way. I'd just borrow the title. I'm not too prideful just to rip somebody off. I'll borrow the title. Being a welcoming church. Being a welcoming church. Now, I know that maybe some of you might be thinking, preacher, we're all friendly here. We don't need much improvement. And a few weeks ago, I probably would have said the same thing. And I'm not saying we're not a friendly church, but I am saying that God has shown me some ways that we can be even more so. In fact, I'll give you a quote from the book. Dr. Tom Rainer, who wrote the book, owns a business called Church Answers. He deals with churches all over America. And he wrote this. He said, many leaders and members think their churches have better ministries than they really do. And many leaders think their churches are friendlier than they really are. Most churches, I believe this, most churches believe they are friendly because they are friendly to other members. But they never walk in the shoes of a first-time guest. They never look at their facilities like a first-time guest does. They never look at the parking lot like their first-time guest. They never look at the website as a first-time guest would. And they never look at their own friendliness like they would if they were a first-time guest. I believe that we are to grow in our love, grow in our love for the church, and grow in our love for other people. That will make our church a great church. I really believe that. I won't take you the time to read the whole thing, but Dr. Rainer tells the story of someone that he surveyed that visited a church for the first time and later said that they would not return to that church. And when asked why they would not return to the church, the man responded that he said, my family will not return to the church. And when asked why, he said, well, there's a lot of things. He said, first of all, the website wasn't up to date with new times and services, and it caused our family to be late. When we arrived, all the parking lots close to the church were occupied by members. The family went on to complain that the door greeters were busy holding a private conversation and only spoke to them for 2 seconds. Finally, they said that the children's area was a disaster and the sanctuary was dirty. And because of these things, they would never return to the church. I made a list, or I didn't make a list, but I wrote down a list of reasons, the top 10 reasons that an individual say they will not return to a church after visiting for a first time. Here are 10 reasons people say they won't return to a church. The number one reason, they say that the stand and greet time makes them feel awkward and uncomfortable. Number two, they say that they won't return because members are unfriendly. They say that members congregate in congregations before and after the service, have private conversations, and ignore the people that are visiting. Number three, children's areas of the church are unsafe. Number four, there's no place to get information about the church. Number five, the church website is bad. Number six, there's poor signage in the church. Number seven, the church uses language that's hard to be understood from an outsider. Number eight, the service is boring or bad. I would have thought that would have been at the top of the list, wouldn't you? Number eight, the service is boring. I can really lay an egg, but I guess if we got poor signs, then we're going to be okay. The service is bad or boring. Number nine, members told them they were in the wrong pew. Number 10, the church was dirty. On the flip side, people that did return to church commented these things. The top 10 reasons they said they would return to a church. Number one, somebody asked if they could sit with them. Number two, people introduced themselves. Number three, there was clear signage. Number four, there was a clearly marked welcome center. Number five, the kids loved the children's area. Number six, the children's area was secure and clean. Number seven, the guest parking was visible. Number eight, the church did not have a stand and greet time. Number nine, the members were not pushy. And number 10, the guest card was simple to complete. With all that being said, I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on three things God has given me on what we can do to be a welcoming church. I remember, I don't know, Brother Steve, Brother Scott, Brother David, I don't know if y'all remember, or not Brother James, I don't know if y'all remember this, but 5.5, 6.5, however many years ago it was that y'all brought me in to candidate for the church. I remember in one of the meetings that we had, we were sitting together and we were meeting. And in that meeting, Brother Bill Buchanan, and if there's ever a man that loved this church, it was Bill Buchanan. And he said to me in that meeting, I don't know if y'all remember this, he said, Brother Josh, he said, we want our church to grow. That's what we want here. He said, if you know how to make our church grow, you tell us and we'll do whatever it takes. Amen. I think he meant that. Don't y'all think he meant that? Well, I'm not sure that I've got all the answers, but I am sure that God's given me a few thoughts for tonight. How can we be a welcoming church? I'm going to give you three words. You can write them down and then we'll get out of here. I think that we could deal, first of all, with, when you write this word down, write down the word signs. Signs. Verse number 13 says that we should be given to hospitality. We should be friendly. We should be welcoming. Here's a quote. Guests who visit your church need good directions. If they don't have clarity on how to get to your church building or how to find areas in your church when they arrive, they will not return. Did you know that a lot of people assume things about their church that are not necessarily true? Everybody just kind of assumes that everybody else knows where their church is. But not everybody knows where the church is. Everybody assumes that maybe in our case that because the church is small, you don't need signs to get around. Maybe they assume that a church website's not that important, or maybe that you don't need signs in certain strategic locations, but you do. I remember several years ago when I hadn't been preaching very long, and I was just kind of doing a little bit of evangelism, and I would go to different churches and I would preach. And I remember that my father-in-law kind of instilled in me when I started preaching that if somebody calls you to go preach for them on a Sunday morning, you don't just show up for service, you show up for Sunday school too. Amen. And I was a Sunday school teacher. I had no problem with that. And so I was invited to come speak at a church nearby, and I won't say who the church is, that doesn't matter, but I was invited to come speak at a church nearby, and they wanted me to preach on a Sunday morning, and I'll never forget this, Brother Lee. My family and I got there in time for Sunday school. In fact, we got there a few minutes early. You don't want to be late when you're visiting a church, so we got there a few minutes early. But this church didn't meet in the congregation like we do. Instead, when everybody got there, they immediately went to their Sunday school classes. And so me and my wife and my two young daughters walk into this church, and when we walk in the back, there's two greeters back there. They kind of say hi, and then they let us walk into a sanctuary that is completely empty. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know what to do. And so we walked into the sanctuary that was empty, and we sat down. And we sat there for probably at least 20 minutes by ourselves in an empty sanctuary. Mind you that in this length of time, people actually walked by us. They never said anything. Can I help you find a Sunday school class? And finally, after maybe 20 minutes, an elderly man come in. I guess he was late. He come in and he said, "Why don't y'all come to Sunday school with me?" And so me and my wife and my two daughters went to the senior adult Sunday school class and sat in on that Sunday school class. Now, if you was to ask most members of their church, "Do you know where Brother so-and-so's class is? Do you know where the teen class is? Do you know where the young adult class is?" They'd say, "Absolutely, everybody knows that." But a first-time guest didn't know that. And there was nobody to tell us where it was at. No signs that said where you go. Tonight before service, I met with the trustees of the church, and we went over some things that I wanted our church to do in the future and some things that we had to do right now. And on the top of the list, I said, "Men, we need to make some signs." I won't go through the trustees meeting with you, but I told them, I said, "I want signs as soon as you walk through these doors on the far walls just immediately back here that say just generic things. Men's restroom and an arrow. Nursery this way. Signs over the doors that says teen class. Juniors class and an age group. Whatever." I told them that I wanted a sign made for the parking lot that said "Reserved for first-time guests." And I told them that I want it to be the very first parking spot where I park, because we don't need a pastor's parking spot. We need a first-time guest parking spot. Because, you know, the reality is that church signs aren't for church members. We all know where our stuff's at. But this is what I told them. I said, "Signs say we are expecting guests. We want you here." In fact, I was reading and going through this little book, and I read a person that wrote in a survey of a bad church experience. And the person wrote, "That church and everything that it did, their bad website, no signs inside or outside, no greeters around, sent a clear message. The message is guests are not welcome here." And I read that, and God broke my heart. I thought, man, we've not done it intentionally. But there's some things that we can do better. All right, signs. That's just an easy word. Number two, write this word down, saints. Saints. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 1 and 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for whereby some have entertained angels unawares. Do you realize that when someone walks into the sanctuary of our church, we have no idea who they are or who the Lord has sent us? We don't know if that person is a prospective family that's looking for a church. We don't know if it's a soul looking for salvation. We don't know if it's just somebody that's struggling and they're looking for answers. We don't know who they are when they walk in the door. But we know that they are here for something. How many people do you think just walk down our street and come into the church? If they are here, they are here for a reason. Therefore, it is our duty to, and I'll use this in quotes, entertain them with hospitality, because we have no idea who God has sent us. Something that was odd that struck me is I gave you that list of 10 reasons why a person would not return to a church. Something that was odd that struck me was that the number one thing on the list of reasons why people would not return to a church was that the stand and greet time was awkward and made them feel uncomfortable. Here's a statistic for you, those of you that like statistics. You ready? Here's a statistic. 6 out of 10 church members do not like the stand and greet portion of the service. 6 out of 10 church members don't like the stand and greet portion of the service. 4 out of 10 visitors actually, 9 out of 10, there's the number I'm looking for. 9 out of 10 guests do not like the stand and greet portion of the service. The reason that those surveyed said they did not like the stand and greet time, this is interesting. It was not just because they said that it was awkward shaking hands with a bunch of people they didn't know. That's what I would have said. Instead, they said that it was the fact that those 2 minutes were the only 2 minutes that people were friendly to them in the church. Can I give you another illustration from my own personal journeys in ministry? Another church, another city, another town, and they had asked me to come preach. This time it was a Sunday night. And I'm just new, I'm fresh, I'm just getting started, and I'm excited. And I'm the guest speaker that night, you know. And me and my wife, we walk into this church, and we sit down on the pew, and nobody speaks to us. I'm the guest preacher. I've got a suit and tie on. She's got a nice dress on. My kids are dressed. We are obviously there for church. We are church folk. I'm carrying a Bible and an iPad. I'm there to do something. Eli, nobody says anything. In fact, we sit down in our pew, and as we sit there, instead of people saying, hi, how you doing? It's good to have you in church tonight. They just looked at us. So much so that it really become uncomfortable. And we felt out of place. We were the odd men out. I was the preacher that night. And they made me feel uncomfortable. Just would look at me. Churches have a tendency, and I don't think that they mean to, but churches have a tendency to form what Dr. Rainer calls holy huddles, and I've witnessed this. People like to fellowship with other people that they like and people that they're familiar with. And I get that. I'm an introvert. It's hard for me to go up and talk to a stranger. If there's anybody that it's hard for, it's me. In fact, we would go to preachers' fellowships, and they would have a meal or something afterwards. And there's been times I would go sit down, and my wife would give me one of these and say, you're going to have to go talk to people. I get it. I'm an introvert. I don't care much for that. And the fact that people like to talk to each other is a good thing. It means that they love each other. It means they enjoy each other's companies. But we can't get so used to our holy huddles that we forget about the guests that are in our congregation. I told you there are some things I wanted our trustees and our men to do. Can I give you some things that I want you to do? First of all, when somebody comes into our church, I want them to be greeted. In fact, here's what I want that to look like. I want there to be our door greeters to stand on the outside and welcome people instead of the inside. I don't know why. This is a crazy thing, but people prefer being greeted outdoors more than they do indoors. It makes them feel more comfortable. I would love for a door greeter to stand outside, and when somebody walks up, open the door for them. And if it's a first-time guest, we're going to know it around here. And you say, man, I'm so glad that y'all are with us today. My name's James. What's your name? Thanks for coming. And then when they get inside, I've told them we're going to put up a little table here in the back, and we're going to put a nice tablecloth on it. We're going to put a sign that says Welcome Center. And there's going to be somebody that stands there. And when they walk inside, they're going to say, hey, how are y'all doing? We're so glad that you're with us tonight. There'll be information about the church. We've got some little inexpensive Bibles that we bought. They'll say, hey, do you have a Bible for service? If not, we've got one for you. Maybe even if they fill out a visitor's card and drop it off, give them a free gift on the way out the door. I would love for us to do more in the way of greeting. In fact, I thought about this. If you want to help in the way of greeting, you let me know. It doesn't have to be a man. It can be a woman. It can be a teenager. But we need to do something in the way of greeting. Then once that person is seated inside of our church, it is all of our responsibility. Not all at the same time. Let's don't make them feel rushed. But it is our responsibility to them go up to them, introduce ourselves, make them feel as welcome as possible. When church is over, don't just run for the door, but go up to them again and say, man, we really appreciated y'all being here today. And it's not just for the first-time guest, it's for the reoccurring guests. I'm going to use y'all as an illustration. I've not talked to them about this, and I don't know what their experience is, but I hope that all of you all have at some point come to some new members, some folks that have been visiting, and introduced yourself and said hello, and let's go get a cup of coffee together sometime. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to avoid our holy huddles. We've got to make them feel welcome. All right, we're writing our words down. There's signs, saints. You might be able to guess the third S. It's sanctuary. Sanctuary. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. This past weekend, my family had some family and folks over for 4th of July. And because we were having several people come to our house, we do what all of us do when you've got guests coming over. We picked up. I didn't need my guests, you know, seeing my dirty socks laying in the floor. I don't leave dirty socks laying in the floor, but you get my illustration. Some of y'all do. I know some of y'all do that. But you don't want the guests to see your house cluttered. You don't want your guests to see the grass not cut, stuff laying around. You'd be embarrassed if somebody come over to your house and things weren't picked up and put in order. if it's important to present my house as clean and welcoming to guests, how much more so is it for God's house to be clean and welcoming for guests? Can I give you another quote? I like these quotes. A person wrote in, they said here's the way they started. They said the church looked disorganized. Said it looked like a yard sale. There were old Bibles everywhere, including the restrooms. They said, I guess a few dozen people had forgot their umbrellas and their coats because they were strewn everywhere. And then there were the upright pianos. What is it with churches and upright pianos? I visited several churches over the years, and I've seen several old, ugly, unused upright pianos. You see, a church has to be careful of two problems. Number one, we have to be careful of the fact that we are so familiar with our church that we stop seeing things. We no longer see the chipped paint or the clutter in the pews. We no longer see the stain on the carpet. We're just used to it. Here's the second problem. The second problem is that we love our church so deeply that we are willing to overlook those things. And both those things are a problem. Again, I ask the men tonight for us to put our eyes on the future, to commit to transforming some things to do in the church. There's a bunch of things that we can do for very little or no money at all. And I ask you to make the same commitment. If there's something that needs to be done, please help with it. Please do it. I believe that you love God. I believe that you love your church. In fact, some of you have spent most of your lives here. This place is special, and it should be treated as such. Dr. Rayner commented once, he said, I see no relationship in the size of the church and the safety and cleanliness of the church facilities. Similarly, there's no pattern that exists related to the income level of the church. It all comes down to having the right perspective, the right attitude, and the right effort. Do you realize that within the first 10 minutes of entering our church, a first-time guest will determine whether they return or not? Therefore, we must be welcoming. We must have a team of passionate servants who are given to hospitality. In fact, again, I encourage you. I want you to pray about it. If that's something you can help with, I want you to help with it. We're going to have a greeter meeting coming up soon. We're going to schedule that. We're going to have a greeter meeting. And all are welcome to participate in that. I mean everybody. You teenagers, listen to me. If y'all are willing to wear a name badge that says, hi, my name is Caroline, and smile at somebody when they come in the door, I've got a job for you to do. You can serve Jesus Christ. All of us. Are we willing to look at our church as if we were a first-time guest? Is the church clean? Is it orderly? Is there signs? Would you attend our church? If you as a first-time guest, you as looking for a church. Titus 1, 7 and 8, Paul's listing the requirements for a bishop. He said that the bishop must be blameless in the, as the steward of God's house, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality. I want our church to be the most welcoming church in Knoxville. Amen. And it starts with me, the bishop, the pastor. And God's done something in my heart, and I want Him to do something in your heart. Some of these things we'll do by faith. I told my wife I might let her work the Welcome Center at first. I told her the other day, I said, babe, I want you to stand behind that Welcome Center in faith, believing that we're going to have a guest walk in the door that day. Amen. And we're going to make them. And if we don't have a guest next Sunday, then we'll stand there the next Sunday in faith. We'll say we're ready. We want you here. We're expecting you. Guests are welcome here. A spiritually healthy church is a church given to hospitality. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a moment of invitation. We don't need a song. There's no reason for a song tonight. If you want to come pray, you're welcome to come. I'm going to be the first one to come pray. God said, what can I do to be more welcoming, more hospitable? God, transform our church. If you want to join me down here, you're welcome to do that.